Read Galatians chapter 5. I'll maybe just read the section first. We're doing the fruit of the Spirit. We're up to goodness. I'll start reading from chapter 5, verse 16. I'll just read the read till the end of the chapter. Starting verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and you shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. The flesh lusts against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh, and these are contrary one to another, so that you cannot do the things that you would. If you be led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lavishness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such alike, of which I tell you before, as I also tell you in times past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. They that are Christ have crucified the flesh with its affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Right. As I said, we're doing the fruit of the Spirit, and we're up to goodness. I remember hearing when I was very young. I wasn't very young, actually. When I was younger, a couple of years ago, 20 years ago. 20 years ago, I remember there was a movie that came on TV, and the opening scene, I can't remember what movie it was, but the opening scene, the opening statement, you know, they have that little statement at the beginning. It says, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph in the world is for good men to do nothing. And I remember that. It stuck in my mind. I'm sure most of us other people have heard that saying. We've heard that thing before. The only thing necessary for good men, for evil to triumph, is for good men to do nothing. The question I ask then is, how many good men do you know? Do you know any good men? You know, we're doing an election at the moment. I don't know if you've seen all the billboards around. I don't know if it's come or gone yet, but it's pretty soon. Yeah, Ireland's in the middle of, we're electing someone to power. And we see these faces of these men, of these women, of these people who stand for political goals. And as we look to them, are they good men? Are these the good men that we're talking about? Are these the ones that are going to lead us away from tyranny? Are these the ones that are going to sort out the social problems that Ireland is facing? Yeah? I think maybe they're the ones that brought us into this problem, isn't it? Yeah? But are those the good men? Are those who we're hanging our hopes on? Fine Gael, I don't know all about Irish politics. I don't know about any politics at all, really. But you've got Fine Gael, you've got Fianna Fáil, you've got Sinn Féin, you've got a whole bunch of them. And each one of them are positioning themselves and putting themselves up as people who are good, who are going to do what's best for us. They're good men, aren't they? They're supposed to be. Are those the people that we're putting our faith in? Are those the people that we're trusting? They're going to solve our social problems. You know, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is for good men to do nothing. I put it to you, the problem is, it's not that good men are doing nothing, it's that there are no good men. That's the problem, yeah? There are no good men. But I know one good man, don't I? I know one good man who's different to all the rest, isn't it? There was one man who walked this scene of time who was unlike any other. The world doesn't want him, do they? He put his face on a billboard. You don't know what he looks like, but if you put his face on a billboard, this world didn't want him. When that good man walked this scene of time, we took that only good man and we crucified him. Didn't we? But I'll tell you something. I praise the Lord every day that good man didn't stand idle, did he? That good man didn't do nothing. That good man did something. That one good man did something and changed the world. You read a couple of chapters ago, 8 chapters ago, wasn't it? In chapter 5, chapter 4. Yeah. When the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem those who are under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Isn't that wonderful? Let me read the rest of that, because it's spectacular. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And if we are sons, we are no more servants. We are no more servants, but sons. and if sons, then heirs of God through Christ. God has done something. That good man has done something. Dear friends, evil has not triumphed. Yeah. Evil has not won. Evil has been put down, hasn't it? That good man has done something. He has died on a cross. We remembered this morning, didn't we? Yeah. He was nailed to a cross. He hung on that cross and he died and he bore our sin in his own body on the tree. He was taken from that cross. He was buried. And on the third day, that good man, God put his stamp of approval on that good man and raised that good man from the dead. Not only did he raise him from the dead, but he ascended into heaven. And there's a good man sitting on the throne in heaven. Isn't that spectacular? There's a good man. And not only did he ascend, but the Holy Spirit has descended, is what we're reading about here in Galatians. The Holy Spirit has come onto this earth. Not only has he come onto this earth, but he lives in my heart. And he lives in your heart too, isn't it? He lives in your heart. Yeah? The Holy Spirit has ascended and he lives in us. But if you turn with me just to Romans, there is a problem. Romans chapter 7. You don't need to turn, maybe. You don't need to turn there. I'll read it. Yeah? Paul, the great apostle, could say this. Verse 18. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwells no good thing. For to will is present with me. But how to perform that which is good I find not. For the good that I would I do not. But the evil which I would not, that I do. Now if I do that which I would not, it is no more either do it, but sin that dwelleth in me. I find in a law that when I would do good, evil is present with me. For I delight in the law of God after my inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind, and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? Praise the Lord, somebody has. Yeah? But Paul could look to himself and say, in me, that is his natural state. If we look to our natural state, in me dwells no good thing. You look to those men on those billboards and those women on those billboards. In them dwells no good thing. The political parties, the political social structures of this world, there is no good thing in them. The natural man is broken. But it's not just out there, is it? Yeah. We look to our friend group. In the natural men, in our natural state, there is no good thing. We look to our spouses, we look to our children, we look to ourselves. In me, there is no good thing. My natural state, there is nothing good in me. And that's the problem. That's the problem, isn't it? Yeah? But what a wonderful thing is that God has sent his Spirit into this world. And God has sent his Spirit into us. Yeah? I am born again. I was dead, and now I've been made alive. God has sent his Spirit into our hearts, and I am led by the Spirit. And as I walk in the Spirit, and I don't fulfill the lust of the flesh, I find in me what? I find in me a war. There's a fight going on there. I was saying to Packy, like, we've been given armor for a reason, haven't we? Yeah, we've been given armor because there is a fight, and it's to the death. Yeah, praise the Lord that one day this body is going to die, and I will be free from it. That's why I die. Because it has to be put to death. I can't take this to heaven, can I? It has to die and rise again. So the war is in me. Yeah. Between my flesh, led by my fleshly spirit, led by my flesh. Yeah. Fulfilling the lust of the flesh. And by my new man, led by the Spirit of God. Yeah. The war is here. And the only thing necessary for good men, for evil to triumph, is for good men to do nothing. Jesus was that good man. He's ascended to the Father, and the Father has sent the Spirit of his Son into me. Isn't that spectacular? that's spectacular. That the Spirit of God is in me. You know, none of this is natural. You know, we read that thing there that passage in Galatians, all this, the fruit of the Spirit, that is not natural. I'm not a loving person. Yeah? Sometimes I can act very unloving. Just ask my family. Ask those closest to me. I can be unloving. I know it. I can be unkind. I can be all of those things in my natural state. But praise the Lord, we are different. Aren't we? We are different. Dear friend, if you're walking in the Spirit and you're being led by the Spirit and you're filled with the Holy Spirit and you've made your decision to follow the Lord, you ought to be those good men, aren't you? You ought to be displaying the goodness of the Son of God in your life. It's big, isn't it? Yeah. You know why? You know why we ought to be good? Because nobody else is going to be that. Nobody else is going to be good. There's nobody else is empowered by the Holy Spirit. We are the only ones tasked with this, to stand in this world and display the goodness of God. Who else is going to bear that mantle? Who else is going to walk around displaying the goodness of God but us Christians, but us believers? Do you think those people on the placards are going to do that? They're not going to do that. I think we've been down that road a couple of times, haven't we? You know, when we were young, we might have thought it. But the older we get, the more we look at that, we say, the world system, they're not going to do that. It is up to Christians. So, should we start a political party? Is that what we ought to do? Start a political party. Let's change the world politically. That's a great plan, isn't it? Yeah, that's what God tells us to do, doesn't he? Yeah. Peter got a sword out there, didn't he? He whipped out his sword. They were coming to arrest the Son of God. That's what people do, though. Yeah? When they came to arrest the Son of God, Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, they came to arrest him. Yeah? Peter pulled out his sword. And who are these people to arrest the Son of God? Yeah, that's right. But our stance, yes. Defend yourself. You don't deserve to be arrested. You've done nothing wrong. Defend yourself. So Peter pulls out his sword. Starting a political movement right there with 12 guys, one sword between them, I don't know. Pulls out his sword. He's starting a movement now. He's going to defend himself. Fight the evil in the world with a sword. Yeah? And that's the way of the world. The world wants us. Start a political party. Let's go march somewhere. It's a good idea. That's how we're going to display and display the goodness of God. That's how we're going to end tyranny and evil in this world. We're going to start a political party. Grab a bunch of swords, maybe an Apache gunship, and we're going to fight for freedom, fight for peace. That's what the world does, doesn't it? Yeah, when a man, an evil man rises up, the world gathers armies, don't they? They gather armies, and in the name of freedom, we go and fight this guy. Yeah, we go and fight this guy. They strategize, and they plan. Yeah? Romans tells us the opposite, doesn't it? Yeah? We don't overcome evil with Apache gunships and AR-15s and guns and sticks and stones. How do we overcome evil? Overcome evil with good. That's our weapon. Yeah? We don't need swords. We don't need sticks. We don't need stones. We overcome evil with good. That's what God says. Yeah? All the weapons of all the things in our arsenal, yeah? Goodness is our weapon against evil. Overcome evil with good. Yeah? That's difficult, isn't it? Yeah? Some weapons are easy to wield, aren't they? A gun, you point and squeeze, and that's it, done. Yeah? Overcoming evil with good is difficult. It's hard. Yeah? It's tough. But we've been given the Holy Spirit that enables us to live that Christian life. And we need to be led by the Spirit. Because as we're led by the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. And we will display that goodness. You know, goodness is not just the absence of evil, is it? Yeah? It's not just the absence of evil. You go around and you never break God's holy law. I don't know if that's possible, but anyway, whatever. Yeah, if you live your life from now until the day you die and you never break God's law once, that's not you being good. That's just you not being bad. That's not goodness. Yeah? I mean, think about it. You're just breaking even. Yeah? Because that's the standard. You haven't done anything actually good, have you? Yeah? So what is goodness? Goodness is us actually putting other people first, before ourselves, putting the needs of others before our comforts and our benefits, actively doing good, not just not doing bad. That's tougher. That is tougher. I can barely get through a day without doing anything wrong, let alone doing stuff right. But Jesus Christ himself, he went around doing good, didn't he? Yeah. Goodness is active. Goodness is a positive thing. It's not just the lack or the absence of evil. Yeah. You can live your entire life, never do anything wrong, but never do anything good. So, what did the Lord do? I mean, if he's the standard of goodness and we want to find out what goodness actually is, who do we look to? Well, we look to the one good man, the one whose spirit is in us, the one that we are looking to emulate. You know, God, he was so clever. He's, anyway, he's so wise. Yeah, his son is so good and spectacular. He wants to make us like him. Yeah, it's a wonderful thing. So if we want to be pleasing to God, we need to be like Christ. Because of all the men that ever lived, that's the guy that was pleasing to God. Everybody else failed. And if we want to be good and if we want to be effectual Christians, we need to emulate Christ. So we need to look at him. We need to find out what he did. So I've taken one example. There are thousands, and I'm sure people will come up to me afterwards and they'll add things to it. You're more than welcome. Go home and look at it for yourself. But I've chosen one thing where Jesus is chosen or spoken of as a good something, a good shepherd. That's the example I've chosen. There's loads of others. I know it's not going to be exhaustive, this thing either, because that's not what I'm talking about. Yeah? But Jesus Christ is spoken as the good shepherd. Yeah? And I've chosen three aspects of that. And I know there are more. I've just chosen three. There are thousands of... It's like... I don't know. Maybe, it's like when you take a diamond and you turn it. Every time you turn it, you get a different... It all looks the same diamond. And as you turn it, it looks different from then. People like different sides of the same diamond, but it's still the same diamond. Anyway, that's kind of... So I've chosen these three aspects of it, yeah? Yeah? All kind of linked together, all dependent on one another, but the Lord as the good shepherd, yeah? So the first thing is true goodness involves love, doesn't it? Yeah? We said that from the beginning, that that the fruit of the Spirit is kind of a big thing. It's not separate fruits. It's a single thing. And they're all dependent on one another. I think most of it, you can't have one without the other kind of thing. You can't have goodness without love. You can't have kindness without love. You can't have most of these things without love. Love is the central force or the central driving thing behind goodness. In order to be good, you have to love. Yeah? You cannot be truly good without having love. Yeah? Jesus Christ was the good shepherd, wasn't he? Yeah? He had an absolute unwavering love for me before I was saved. Isn't that wonderful? Hey? Before I was saved, he was good to me, wasn't he? Jesus Christ died for me in that while I was yet sinner. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for me. Yeah? He was good before to me, before I was saved. You know, we spoke about that idea of adoption earlier, and I was going to stand up and say something about it, but that adoption is a wonderful picture, isn't it? Yeah? You have natural children, yeah? And it's the love for me and my wife that produces children. That's how you get a child, yeah? It's the love between a husband and wife produces a child, yeah? But adoption's different. Adoption, you go out because the love between, you've got more love to display between one another that you need to find something else outside there to display it to. Yeah, and so God, the Father, and the Son came out looking for us. That's what you do when you adopt a child. You go, you leave your comfort, and you go and you find someone. And you find that person out there who's totally unrelated to you. You don't need to be good to them. You don't owe them anything. They're not yours. You go out and you find that person and you put your love on that person. That person comes into your family, you know. I must come out wrong. This is going to come out totally wrong, but I'm going to say it anyway. Yeah? An adopted child has the wonderful assurance that those parents love him. Yeah, don't they? Because they chose that kid. They chose him. Of all the others, he was chosen. Not that I don't love you. But you know what I'm saying? Yeah. They looked at all that, that one I'm going to put my affection on. That one. Yeah. And they go out with an inheritance, and that's what the idea of the inheritance is in that verse. Yeah, they're predestined to an inheritance. Because that adopted child is predestined to my inheritance. He's going to get everything that I've got for nothing. But I go out and I choose him with the view of giving him everything I've got. Predestined. What a wonderful picture that is. God is good to me before I was saved. How wonderful is that? He loves me. Goodness involves love. He loves me now, doesn't he? He is still good to me. It's not that he was good to me once and saved me and pulled me out of that miry pit, didn't he? Yeah, put me on solid ground. Said, dusted me off, sprayed me with water. There you go. Pat me on the back. Off you go. Good luck. Bye. Yeah? Great that he saved me. Yeah. But not only did he save me, not only was he good when he saved me, he's good to me now. Yeah? Psalm, I know you read that psalm quite a bit, Tommy, yeah? That he leads me to green pastures, leads me beside the still waters. He is a good shepherd. He is still good to me. Yeah? So he was good then, and he's good now. Goodness involves love. It's a loving thing to do. So how do we display that? What does that mean to me? What did the good shepherd do? Yeah? Well, I think I've lost my place here, but anyway. Love involves compassion. Goodness involves compassion. Yeah? No, well, anyway, love should, this love should motivate us to act on behalf of the good of people who are not loving us, who reject us, who are at enmity with us. That goodness and that love should get us to act on behalf of people who hate us. We should act for the good of them. That's what Jesus did, didn't he? Yeah. That's what Jesus did. And the goodness and the love should get us to act on behalf of those who are close to us, as in saved people, as in our family, as in those who are near to us, who disappoint us constantly. That doesn't happen in my family at all. It's all great. Yeah. But it's great that other people are good to me, isn't it? It's great that people are good to me. Because that's what God does. How many times do we disappoint him? How many times do we let him down? How many times do we actively seek our own? We were doing in Nehemiah that he didn't take away that pillar of cloud. He didn't take away that pillar of fire. He didn't take away the manna. He is still good to us, and we ought to be good to one another. Hey, that's tough. Eh? Goodness involves compassion. Hey? Compassion's a wonderful thing, isn't it? Yeah. We found compassion in that good shepherd. Eh? That sheep that went astray. How many times are you going to find that stupid sheep that went astray? How many times do I leave? How many times do I go my own way? He finds me and has compassion on me, and he binds my sin wounds. We sing that song. He binds me up. He forgives me. He has compassion. He had compassion on me when I was unsaved. He has compassion on me now. He's a compassionate God. Yeah? We read the Gospels. We can't read the Gospels and not come away with Jesus being compassionate. How many lepers did he look upon? And the Bible says he had compassion on them. Blind men. Lame men. Sinners of the highest degree. The Son of God looks upon them and has compassion on them. Because of that, he is a good shepherd. How should we be? We should be compassionate. We should look at people in need. We should look at people who are broken. And our hearts should be compassionate. You know, people like this idea, I don't know, stoicism. Be this man, be the stoic. Jesus was not like that. Jesus was not stoic. Have you read the gospel? He's not stoic. Yeah? He wasn't this closed-off emotional guy that was just ice. No, he had compassion. Man, he fell down in the garden and he wept tears of blood, sweat of blood. It's not stoicism. Oh, stoically. No, no. He was open and he was very, very compassionate and caring and loving beyond degree. That's who we should be like. We should be compassionate. We shouldn't be closed off. Goodness involves compassion. Yeah. Goodness involves giving, doesn't it, as well? Cost you something, doesn't it? Being good costs you something. Yeah. Not just money. I'm sure people are good with their money and look out for people. But goodness costs us something. Even our time and effort is going out of your way. That good Samaritan went out of his way, didn't he? Yeah. The religious guys, they could have stopped them, could have helped. Yeah. They all walked past on the other side of the street. That good Samaritan, yeah, he went out of his way to help his neighbor. That's what made him good. The good shepherd went out of his way. Hey? You don't think Jesus went out of his way? How far away is heaven from earth? How far away is the throne of heaven from a cross? I know I'm speaking figuratively, but that's far. That's a big step of humiliation. That's a big step down. The good shepherd, yeah, it says he gave his life for the sheep. Yeah, and if you read the passage there in John's Gospel, that's what separates him from all the other shepherds. Yeah, is that the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He gives something. Yeah, because he cares for the sheep. Yeah, his care motivates him to give. Yeah, and he gave that which was most valuable, wasn't it? The precious blood of Jesus Christ as a lamb without blemish or spot. Yeah, not common. My blood's common. We've all got very similar blood types. All blood's common. Yeah. One day my blood's going to be shed and I'm going to die. Yeah. His blood was not common. Most precious. He gave that for me. That's what separates him from every other shepherd. That's what makes him a good shepherd. Otherwise, he's just a shepherd. All other shepherds are fine. Common as muck. But this guy, Jesus, is a good shepherd. He gives his life for the sheep. We ought to give. Yeah. Not just money. Give our time. Give our effort. Give our prayers. Pray for one another. Input things. Right. I know I'm preaching to myself because this is tougher. Yeah. Yeah. But this is goodness, sir. Right, but last thing, I'll close in this. But why? Why goodness? What does goodness have to do with anything? Why do I need to be good? It's like, yeah, we need to be good because we need to not be bad and bring bad names to the Lord and all that. No. Goodness brings men to repentance, doesn't it? The goodness of God draws men to repent. Yeah? Romans tells us that. Hey? How many testimonies have you listened to? And the person says, that Christian was so good. I was so horrible to that guy. And he was so good to me. Hey? How many men, I know Jimmy's left now, but how we acted in the world. And when you're confronted with the goodness of God for you, brings repentance, doesn't it? It breaks your heart, doesn't it? And people have spent your time, spent some time in the world, it hurts, doesn't it? Just thinking about it. The goodness of God towards me, we get an opportunity to display that same goodness to others. Yeah? Yeah, it makes a difference. That's why God says goodness is important. You need to be good. Because that goodness displays the goodness of God, which leads men to repentance. My prayer today, or maybe just in closing now, my prayer today would be that as we go out into the world, that we absolutely, if we display the goodness of God, that we choose to actively love, that we, because you know, unsaved people, they mightn't be able to pinpoint it and give you all this thing that I've given you today, yeah, but they know goodness when they see it, yeah, they know exactly what they're looking for, and dear friend, if you're not good, they'll know, They can see that in you. Yeah, we have an opportunity to stand up and display the goodness of God that was displayed to us, that brought us to repentance. The fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Yeah? Let me just close with that. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you. Lord, we thank you for the Lord Jesus Christ, Lord. Lord, we thank you, Lord, for that life that he lived. Lord, we are not, Lord, in our natural state, Lord, we are not good people. But Lord, we pray that we would be led by your Spirit, Lord, that we would not fulfill the lust of the flesh, Lord, that we would be the salt of the earth, Lord, those men, Lord, who through their goodness, through being Spirit-led, Lord, change this world, Lord. Lord, we just do pray. Give us strength and give us courage. I mean, our Christian walk. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen.